Hello.
You, Debbie. Do we need to do something anymore with the mic, or can put it up a little closer? Better or work? That'll work? Okay. All right, well, good evening. Yep, I'm pretty sure I did turn it on, right? Yeah, the green light's on. All right. So, it's just a joy to come and speak with y'all tonight in Pastor's absence. And as we look in our Sunday school class, we've been going through prepping for the Psalms, and just kind of as an overview. To most Christians, the Psalms are pretty familiar, as we sang some of the songs tonight, but we read them, we quote them, and we even sing some. But they can be also very foreign. And we could struggle with the original setting, geographical places, maybe even theological themes, ancient poetic forms, and even Pastor does a good job because of his musical background, but the Shila and a lot of the musical terms that are there. And as we've talked a little bit before the service, and for me, those you know, the agricultural thoughts that are in mine and my wife's years of marriage, the thoughts that we're moving away from an agrarian society. What we're down now to less than 0.5% that are in some form of agriculture. And, you know, most everybody are more urbanized, and they just don't relate to a lot of natural, agricultural, you know, terms. But the book of Psalms also resonates, and I've been preparing my heart for. The book of Psalms powerfully resonates with, really, as I've told a Sunday school class, a whole spectrum of human emotions, experiences, resounding with heartfelt praise, humble confessions, or just honest laments. And I mean, if you understand what a lament is, you're pouring your heart out, and this is something that is difficult. And you wonder, so when did the Psalms really come as part of a formal presentation in the Hebrew Bible? It is the beginning of part 3 in the Hebrew text. But Jesus taught us in Luke 24:44. Is that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms you need to pay attention to? So I think that's kind of the Psalms. And like I say, in our Sunday school class, we've been through all of the Hebrew poetry, and Pastor just ably finished up Job. So we'll camp out in Psalms for a while, Sunday school class. But, you know, it brings me back to Brother Higdon. That was what he did when he filled in for Pastor, is he started into Psalms. So whenever I fill in, that's more than likely where I'm headed. So here's the special personal side of things. And maybe I need to, Lynn needs to leave before I, you know, no. Psalm 23 was the first message that Lynn and I heard starting our married life out on that next Sunday, on that Sunday after our Saturday wedding. So this was in Columbia, South Carolina. I think Spidles, y'all were in Columbia for a little while or close by, weren't you? You were, okay, you claim it. So it was just, it was the first message that we heard as a married couple. And that's where it started off special. And now, almost 50 years later, you beat us to the 50, okay? But after 50 years, I find it still comforting my soul. It's just perfect. So, Psalm 23, you can call it a psalm of comfort and confidence. If I had gone ahead and made up an outline, it had probably two titles. A psalm of comfort and confidence, Psalm 23, or three declarations of the human author, David. Three declarations of David. So here's the practical side for tonight. That from the first time we heard it, it was very powerful. And as years have gone on, it's taken on a whole nother thought. But what it is the shepherd gives us a provision in 1 through 3, a protection, 4 and 5, and then a promise in 6. But as I've shared with the family at different times when we get together, just remember these three simple I will or I shall. Because as you get into this, we know from even Isaiah 40:11, he shall feed his flocks like a shepherd. And whenever I struggle, whatever the struggle may be, whatever the trial may be, I find myself going back saying simply, if the Lord is my shepherd, if the Lord is your shepherd, I what? Just remember the three declarations of David. And there's a lot of meat attached to these three things, but if I want you to take anything away tonight, it is, I shall not want, I will not fear, I will fear no evil, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So if that doesn't give you comfort, a confidence, then we need to talk, okay? But I think that's what I find myself as I struggle. The older we get, seems like sleep doesn't come as easy as it used to. And when I find myself laying awake, I just start into Psalm 23. And here over the last few years, it is such a comfort and a confidence that it's there. Okay, so let's turn to Psalm 23. Very, very easy to find. There, yeah, in the center of everything. Psalm 23. I think not to be missed in the beginning of this, Spurgeon, in his Treasury of David, he says the position of Psalm 23 is very worthy of notice. It follows what is peculiarly the Psalm of the Cross. There are no green pastures, no still waters on the other side of Psalm 22. It is only after we read, my God, in 22:1, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? We must, by experience, know the value of the shed blood and the sword awakening against the shepherd before we are able to truly know the sweetness of the good shepherd's care. So just hold your, we've learned in Sunday school when we do Hebrew poetry, we always want to reinforce it with New Testament commands and New Testament truths. So probably a favorite New Testament, hold your hand there in there in Psalm 23, but turn to John 10. John 10, very familiar passage. And as Jesus is speaking here, start in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Thank you for the songs, Chris. And thank you for even Tim Cassie this morning in the video. What did we see? We saw a young shepherd girl and the sheep. And I'm going, oh, wow. Remember that. But he says, I am the door of the sheep. All that come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he will be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And you turn over to 27 after he's talked to the scribes and Pharisees and those that are there about him. In 27 through 31 just says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Why? I and my Father are one. In verse 31, what's the response? Oh, this is wonderful, this is great. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. So when we think about the Good Shepherd and who he is, I think we just need to focus. Psalm 22 is really about Christ, the Messiah. And we need to go through Psalm 22 with the Good Shepherd to truly get to the Great Shepherd that is so familiar with us in Psalm 23. So this is interesting because shepherds, not just a common thought that we have. And let me just, at this point, I want to strongly, how many people have read Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. You've read it? Yeah, you've read it because you handed it to me. And I'm sitting there going, Sherry handed it to Lynn back last year. I am serious. I read professional journals and things like this. I'm just not a big reader. I'm sorry. That's my confession tonight. But this is an easy read. And it is a wonderful read because it is truly a shepherd's look at Psalm 23. And you'll hear quite a bit of this, you know, tonight. It is just so special. But I could spend, you know, three Sunday nights going through Psalm 23 if I really dug into what Philip Keller really got into, but I'm just telling you, it's a great book, and it gives great insight into this. So, in the first section, Psalm 23, 1 through 3, it truly is the shepherd's provision. So, as we said earlier, Isaiah 40, 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. So, just remember this as you're going through here. There will be a portion here that's more like a he and me. It kind of dates myself and where the Lord saved me. But J. Vernon McGee, anybody ever heard J. Vernon McGee before? And he just, you know, very plain, here it is. but he just calls them he and me. That's God and you. And it's so special, some of those early things that as I was growing in the Lord. But this whole idea of don't forget that David here is talking as part of the flock, as a sheep. Okay? I mean, that's who we are, and hopefully, and that is the first big question to get into. There is, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is this Lord? This Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel, the self-existent one, the eternal God, the great I am. You know, that's where we are here. And it says, the Lord, emphatically, is a reality, my shepherd. My. So personal. And this, as if you read this, or if you have any agricultural bent at all, you know, you realize that sheep and humans share a lot of similarities. Incredible. So as you go through here, Isaiah 53, so I bounce back and forth from Isaiah to the Psalms. Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the big questions here, and I look at this group, and to the best of my knowledge, you all know the Lord, love the Lord, you're here on a Sunday night, and those questions that you should have for others in your family or friends or contacts, do I really belong to him? Do I really recognize his right to me? Do I respond to his authority and acknowledge his ownership? Because if we're talking about sheep and the shepherd, we're his. And that's what fills the pages of Keller's book, is that he cared for these sheep like you can't believe. And all the little details that he has and learned through the years. Philip Keller was born in East Africa, always loved wildlife, the outdoors, having spent many years in agricultural research, land management, and ranch management in British Columbia. He later pursued careers in conservation, wildlife photography, and journalism. His experiences as a shepherd equipped him with the insights for this book. And wow, are they wonderful. So, that idea is you got to get over that first step. We saw Psalm 22, and is the Lord my shepherd. We can't look over that. So when it says, I will not want, that's the first, I will not want. And want here has a much broader than just the means of lacking or, you know, no deficiency, proper care, management, in this case with sheep, husbandry, good husbandry. Care, it's better, utterly, I guess it's broader because it utterly says that I'm contented in the good shepherd's care and I'm not going to crave or desire anything more. That's what I want. I want to be a sheep in his flock. And so, David just isn't referring here to material and physical poverty and need. It truly is just a contentment. I am content here with the Good Shepherd. Now, so here's where we really get into a lot of agricultural stuff. He maketh me, verse 2, to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Thank you, Leslie. You were reading my mind here this morning about the still waters. Sheep, like humans, are a fearful, many times timid, and they aren't going to lie down just to lie down. So this is they're not going to, as Keller says, they aren't going to lie down unless they're free of fear. Okay. Or free of friction with others of their kind. Or free from the pests, the flies, the parasites, the worms, everything that's out there. Or free from the need of finding food. Green pastures just don't happen. And this is where we could spend, you know, the rest of the time here. Green pastures. That the shepherd's provision, like in agriculture, you know, Jacob, if you're sitting here thinking you're more grass farm, but if you have grass and livestock and grow crops and all these things, it is an undertaking to rotate and do the right rotation for everything involved. That planning is incredible. So as we still sit here and think, green pastures just don't happen. They are planned, they are cared for, they are manicured, they just have to happen well planned. And that's the only way you're going to get green pastures, particularly in drier areas like the Middle East. And then the still waters that I was embarrassing Leslie on. Sheep don't like roaring, rustling water. They're fearful and timid. They want it. So it is really interesting. I started looking, and Keller backs this up. The three sources of water that sheep get, do you remember reading that recently? A lot of their water comes from the dew on the green pastures. It's all interrelated. You know, besides having a deep well somewhere, or springs and streams, but generally still water. And as I've grown up, this just, yes, I shall not want. And then if I don't find myself drifting off to sleep, that's when you have to just start quoting the entire psalm. And you just say, He maketh me. Yeah, sheep are sheep. And they aren't as, they need to be made to do certain things. And they've got to want to do these things. So that's why it sounds like a really difficult, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Hey, first, I love water. I love green pastures. I'm in agriculture. I love water. I love streams. Those are peaceful things. When Paul tells us to think on these things, think on wonderful, good, you know, calming things, hey, for me, it's all about green pastures and still waters. And that, you say, oh, well, if you have a perfect shepherd, you shouldn't have any problems, right? Psalm 42:11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. So, restore, refresh. You know, it's just, it's going to happen to us. You know, and if it hasn't happened to you, please see me afterwards and tell me your secret here as to how do you not have trials and issues to where you need Him to bring back, restore. We're not talking about a salvation experience. We're just talking about truly refreshing and restoring your spirit. And he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides me, us needy bunch of sheep. And he, these paths of righteousness, that's where I want to be. And he says, and it's like, I do this, why? For his name's sake. It's for not just your testimony to the people around you and your family, but it's for his reputation. It's for God's glory that he's going to do this for his name's sake. So, in verse 4, we jump down and we say, oh, wow. Yay. So there's an emphatic thing, just like the Lord. Here in verse 4, it says, yay. It's going to happen. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So if you just want to get blessed, just read Keller's book and see exactly from the view of a shepherd. It's just walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Honestly, it's don't miss the simple fact that it says, I walk through. I go on through. I walk through the valley. And valleys, when it comes to your sheep, the whole year in the life of sheep is in the regular, back then, and a lot of places on earth now, they are taken all the way up through to the high country and then brought back down throughout the whole year. They go where the green pastures and the water is. So, and that is a whole cycle of a season. If you're in agriculture, it's almost like being a teacher. Okay, I just got two times. I'm off or I'm on. You know, I'm teaching or I'm on summer break. But for the agriculturalist, it comes with the season. And if you are in agriculture and you have a boss that doesn't understand seasonal differences, you better look for another boss or another job. Because as you walk through the valley, in this case, valleys can be shadowy. That's what a valley is. And honestly, every mountain has a valley. So in our lives, same thing. We have valleys that we have to deal with. And I love when Pastor Downey does funerals. He makes a special point. Death is not an end, but merely the door into a higher and more exalted life of intimate contact with Christ. That I've walked through and I get to the other side. And there can be some difficult shadows along the way, but it says, I will fear. Second, I will. First, I shall not want. Second, I will fear no evil. Why? It's just a little thing for Mike when people pray. And I know they don't mean it intentionally, but say, Lord, be with me. Be with us. Yeah. What's wrong with that prayer? He's there. He's always there. And he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. So as you pray, just be sensitive to that thought of Lord be with us. His presence is ever with us, and that's the way we should live. So we could really get into the agricultural side. Thy rod and thy staff, why, they comfort me. Oh, the rod is just generally a long, slender stick used for protection and for discipline if the sheep tend to get out of line. So the rod is more a bigger, heavier, here you go. But a staff is what we mainly think of as a shepherd. A crook, something hooked. And it's really special, as Keller got into that. Is there a difference between rod and staff? Yes. The staff is a much more personal, I get involved with the sheep, and if I'm trying to separate them, or the hook, even if they're small and the little lambs have issues or they're trying to, you hook them and gently carry them so you don't get your human scent on there. But the staff is completely for touching. And it's just one of those drawing and guiding. So they are two separate things, but it just says, okay, whichever tool you think you need, Lord, I'm in, because they comfort me, because I know they're for my good. All right, so we move on to the shepherds. The provision was in 1 through 3. The protection is in 4 and 5. And it's kind of interesting. In verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. There's a progression there. He's preparing a table for us, just like he prepares everything. And for a shepherd, the table is food, and the table is a provision for my sheep. And this is what you have to do as a good shepherd. And if you do it in the presence of your enemies, and this enemy is a very general concept, when you're out and about, there are critters that are looking for sheep and maybe even the shepherd. But your enemies that are out there, there is a real continued emphasis on, you know, the shepherd's protection, you know, in this whole thing. So as he talks, the protection just continues to go. Where? Says, thou anointest my head with oil. And in this case, that emphasis is a medicinal type oil for the sheep that's needed internally, externally, for parasites, for insects, for these different things. But in all of this, he comes back and says, Lord, you have blessed me so well, so richly, my cup runneth over. So as we look at that, there's just this continuous emphasis of sheep, a good shepherd, and then we move to this last, the shepherd's promise. And it's the third, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So as it says, surely, thank you for the song, Chris, surely, goodness and mercy. Mercy, love, his compassion. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's been incredible. There's just been a continuous emphasis about being the care exercised by an attentive shepherd. Now it just all gets summed up by the psalmist in one loud, brave, simple statement. And the emphasis in verse 4 was, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. 6, that word in the old English, surely. Who is this surely guy or gal? Surely, goodness and mercy. So that is just an absolute, loud, brave, simple statement that God's goodness, our good shepherd, His love and goodness will follow us all the days of our lives. And there's just an unshakable reliance, should be, on His ability to always do the right thing, the good thing, and the best thing in every situation. That's who He is. We may have a difference of opinion. Oh, is that the best thing? If you're His, yes. And whose hand would you rather be in? And I love, John 10 is where we were in the New Testament. But here's, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. 3:16, 1 John, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. So when we sit here and say that, for me, the only practical measure of my appreciation for God's love, mercy, goodness, is to show it to others. We got to extend it to others. And I think that I haven't really thought about this, but Keller brought this out. He says, what about passing that love and that appreciation not just on to others, but back to Him? Think about that. Does God the Father long for love? That might be a little deep. My love. Look at the Garden of Eden. I love Him. Only. And because He first loved me. And it talks about at the judgment seat and at different times. Is He satisfied with us? Whew. So the practical measures of our appreciation for His goodness and mercy is not just to others, but it's truly our joyous response, back to Him. And that's where we just, we go ahead and end up, and it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, when you're looking for a psalm of comfort and confidence, and you want to think about those three declarations of David, I shall not want, I will fear no evil, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So that house, if you look at it as a shepherd, there's just a wider meaning than just the meeting place for God's people or the church or a sanctuary or whatever. This is family. This is a household. This is a flock where the flock gathers of the Good Shepherd. And is it mansions in glory? We'll see. You know, there's so much that if we talk about living forever with Him, there's so many questions I have. Have you figured out everything about heaven and what heaven's going to be other than forever and perfect? That's probably enough for me. Perfect. But there are so many more questions about heaven and what is it truly going to be like. I'm trusting Him on that one. If He is the Good Shepherd and He provides for how He has provided in my life, you know, I'll trust Him on this one. So, all right, so with that, the Lord is my shepherd. So as you truly sit down and of an evening and find it hard to sleep, the He and Me psalm like this: when trials come, trust God, because He is the light in our darkest night. And so I think as we just look at Him supplying all of, you can go and end up in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd, according to Isaiah. So let's have a word of prayer. Chris, we got one song to close up on. Okay, and let's, Father, we thank You that we can call You our Heavenly Father. We are thankful that we have a Good Shepherd. And Lord, that we would just trust You in all things. And as we struggle with comfort and confidence, Lord, that we would just remember about Your provision, of Your protection, and Your promises. And we just love You for who You are. Help us to be joyful in accepting You as our Good Shepherd. We ask this in Jesus' name. Okay, Chris.
You can stand with me, 152. Let's sing the first verse and the third verse. First and third, 152. Stand with me, please.